Testing 1, 2. All right. Sounds good. Please come forward. Y'all can come closer to the baptismal font. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congregation, please stand. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, or under the power of the devil, until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is your child named? Drake Keith Kidwell, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your breast, heart, to mark you as one who has been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Drake Keith according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through the saving flood all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the church, Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Drake Keith as sponsors in the Christian faith?
Yes, with the help of
God. God enable you to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hand on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. I ask the whole congregation to make and confess their faith through the Apostles' Creed by joining in the responses that the family will make, the father and mother will make for their son, and also the sponsors will also respond likewise. Drake Keith, do you renounce the devil?
Yes,
I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works?
Yes,
I renounce him. Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes,
I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes,
I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
I will now ask the parents to answer this in behalf of their son. Drake Keith, do you desire to be baptized? Okay. Could you hand me the towel? The towel. Okay. For his head to dry it after. Drake Keith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and who has given you the new birth through the water and the Spirit, he has sanctified you and blessed you and given you forgiveness of sins. May he also strengthen you by his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Receive this white cloth to be a reminder and to show that you have been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. So shall you stand without fear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Receive this burning light to show and remind you that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Congregation will rise. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Drake Keith Kidwell the new birth in holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep in him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord and giver of life, look with kindness upon this father and mother of this child and upon all our parents. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Enable them to be teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism, that they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
Amen.
You can put the candle out. We continue our service with the introit for today. Unless the Lord builds a house, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them.
He shall not be put to shame when he sees the
Unless the Lord builds a house, God on high and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord be with you.
And with
Let us pray. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of the ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctified and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Behold, I and the children of God has given me." This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. The Pharisees came up, and in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
thee, O Christ. Please be seated. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All through my years of school, beginning, of course, with elementary and right up through seminary, I wasn't big on asking the teacher or professor questions. I'd listen to other people ask the questions. It wasn't that I didn't have questions. Sometimes I thought, well, I ought to know this, so I'm not going to ask it. And then when somebody else would ask a question I thought I knew the answer to, I thought, wow, that was really dumb. Why are you asking that? It's in the book. But asking questions is important. I find that to be true in every situation, actually, to ask questions. Sometimes I forget to ask questions and I wind up with things I didn't expect. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. And then I think to myself, why didn't I ask the question? And the question is whatever the question may be at the time. For instance, in the gospel lesson, Jesus talks to the people a serious question in which he is being tested. And that is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus responds. But the disciples are quiet about this whole matter until they're away from the crowd and in a house with Jesus, and then they ask him. We also perhaps should ask other questions as well. Because one of those questions we heard in the book of Hebrews, and that is, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Well, we might ask the question, well, who is the writer talking about? Well, the question that is being asked to God is written in Psalm 8. And one could say, well, he's talking about all people. But in a greater way, he's also talking about the Messiah. This was one of those passages that pointed beyond what the obvious answer might be. And the obvious answer was God made man a little lower than the angels. And I think it's important for us to consider this question in light of the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, in which Jesus reiterates some of the words that are spoken in Genesis. And it has to do with who we are as human beings. I mean, as people pull away from God in our society today, we see all manner of ideas that are floated out there, and they're not new. None of them are new. They've been around ever since sin. And one of them that is prevalent, or seems to even be growing, is the idea that there is no God. I mean, you turn on a television program or you watch a movie and sometimes you hear that. You might hear from someone, a character, who supposedly has died, and the character is well looked upon and seen as being a worthy voice. And people will ask that character, did you see anything? And they'll say, no, there was nothing there. There is no God. I've seen that a number of times, mostly in science fiction. I love science fiction. It's fun to imagine what the future, the far future, will be. It's even fun to consider that when Stanley Kubrick's movie, the 2001, came out, that was supposed to be our future. Oh, I didn't see any of that stuff, did you? But it's fun to imagine that. And that was in the 60s. Imagining what the future will be like. But to imagine a future without a God, how nihilistic. Man is seen as nothing more than just one other creature of this planet. Nothing particularly special about man at all. How sad when God declares man, when he created him, to be good and made him in his own image. That's what God says about us, says about what he did. Psalmist grabs it. Who is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? This is what the answer. You made him for a little while lower than the angels. Adam and Eve were in that image. There was a creative order. And Adam and Eve are not made above angels, but angels are different than man. Angels are special spiritual beings that are messengers and servants of God, just as we who are human beings, servants of God. But the angels serve us. That's how special we are to God. His angels watch over us and look over us. Another psalmist says, and we said part of it in the grad, not in the grad, in the in the gradual. He will command his angels concerning you. Again, one of those psalms actually where this comes from that speaks about us, but speaks even of a greater message in which we could apply it, and Scripture does apply it, to the Messiah, to Christ, when he is tempted in the wilderness by Satan to cast himself off a pinnacle. And Satan uses the word that comes from the Scriptures, he will command his angels concerning you. And yet, the Scripture, the Word of God, is being twisted by Satan, and Jesus uses Scripture to counter the temptation that Satan tries to tempt Jesus with. We are in a special relationship with God. He created us to be caretakers of his creation. But often we have failed in that. But it wasn't always that way. We see a beautiful image recorded for us of Adam and Eve, and how God brings to Adam all of the animals to see how he would name them. He has put it all together. And God said it is good. It is very good. There is nothing missing, it seems like, but one thing. Adam doesn't find a helper like himself. He has seen it in the animal kingdom. He has seen male and female, but there is no one for him. And God beholds and says, it is not good that man be alone. And so God creates woman from the rib of Adam, and Adam declares, this is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Jesus says the two become one. And let no one separate that which God has joined together. It is a profound mystery. And yet God speaks the truth. But sin enters into the world and disrupts all of the beauty that God has created through Adam and Eve's disobedience. What comes into the world is chaos. Because Adam and Eve are no longer able to stay in this paradise that God has created for them. And they are cast out. But God is not without mercy, and He cares for them and loves them. He has made a promise to them of a Savior. And He bars them from the tree of life so that they do not live eternally in sin. Sin is not part of God's creation. That was never God's intent. Nevertheless, it comes about. So for the centuries that pass, the promise of God is continually handed down through the prophets, sometimes Himself speaking to whomever it may be, such as Moses or Abraham or Jacob. God lets His presence be known. He is still guiding the history of mankind. He is not ashamed to give it all for us. And that's what He does. Jesus comes into the world, becomes flesh, and is incarnate. God assumes our form, not just in appearance, but in reality. God joins Himself to humanity, to mankind. He becomes flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He joins Himself to the world through His own baptism. We are united in a sense. He takes on our trials and temptation. He suffers on our behalf and dies. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews talks about in this section. How He has given it all for us. And we are grateful and thankful because He has suffered in our place, so that we will not suffer God's wrath. He has taken our sins upon Himself, and they have been canceled out. This is a blessing indeed. We see in the gospel lesson the disciples wondering about the words of Jesus. I would like to think that this is a forgivable sin, divorce. And it is. There are times I would ask the children of a confirmation class, just about every time I would ask this one question to them, and they always responded the same way. Even the adults would respond the same way. And I'd ask them, does God intend you to keep the commandments? And they would say no, because God knows we can't keep them. And I said, well, when your parents say, I want you to clean your room, do they intend you to do it? And of course the answer is yes, and they know that. When God gave His commandments to us, He intended us to keep them. But it is true, we are unable to. And Jesus gives us a picture of that in His conversation with the Pharisees, who are trying to trap Him, to trick Him, to bring Him down in the eyes of those who have gathered to listen. It's interesting, the conversation, because He turns it back on them. What did Moses tell you? And they go directly to divorce. I find that interesting because they don't go to the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No, they go to divorce. Jesus says, well, Moses gave you that because of the hardness of your heart. See, in a way, that's the same thing that I ask the kids. Does God intend you to keep the commandments? The answer should always be yes, He does. But the commandments show us something else, that we are unable to keep them. But nevertheless, God's intention is still there. God intended that man and woman have a lifelong union, and nothing should separate the two. Yet because of sin, It's a hard thing for people to do. It was probably just as easy in the day of Jesus to get a divorce as it is today. And yet it happens. And what a disruptive thing it is. More than that, a destructive thing that it is. It destroys families. It destroys the expectations that little children have of their parents to protect them and teach them and keep them safe and to love them. Not that parents can't do that individually, but in separation, it is a hard thing to do. I know. I was a child of parents who were divorced when I was 4. The man who gave me my birth, I guess one would say, he wound up living in New Orleans. I very seldom saw him. He never made an attempt to come to Mobile to see us. And the only time I saw him was when my brothers and I went to have him sign papers to allow my stepfather to adopt us so that our last name would be changed to Hubert instead of Hefton. I think he was saddened by that, but again, he never was my father, my dad. That was my stepfather. But he also was from a divorced relationship. He had daughters who lived with their mother. At least the younger one did. The other two were older. So I know what it does to a family. I understand what it does to a family coming from that kind of place. I was thinking of that this morning, and I was thanking God for the birth that I received when I first came into the world and drew my first breath. And then I thank God for my baptism. I was about a year old when that happened. And that birth was more important because there I died for the first time and was made alive in Christ and made His child, just as Drake was this morning. He died in the waters of baptism, that is the old sinful self that we all inherit from Adam and Eve. But the new life from the new Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, was given to Him as it has been given to each of us through the water of baptism and of the Spirit. We have that blessing given to us. And we are once again made in that image of God in the new creation that comes through Christ. That's truly what the church is. It is the new creation that our God has begun throughout the world. And it continues to spread today. Yet sadly, we encounter this world that is filled with sin. And the church is tempted to be drawn away. Sadly, we see it happening where congregations or church bodies turn from the Word of God and start listening to the world rather than what Christ has to say to us. For God, the Father, has already spoken to us in the Old Testament. We hear the Word of God being challenged and people saying God is dead, furthest from the truth, but we know that because we have been made new in Christ. We have the promise of eternal life. We are happy because of this. God lifts us up. He lifts us up from the mud and the mire of sin. He takes us out of darkness and places us in His kingdom of light. We are made holy in His presence through the righteousness of Christ. He has clothed us with this. He has justified us through Christ. Our salvation is made certain. In our baptism, we have nothing to fear. We will die again, a second death. in which we put off this mortal frame and we go before the Lord in His heavenly kingdom until the day Christ returns, in which He will raise us all up with new glorified bodies, new glorified human beings, made a little lower than the angels. Jesus told His disciples, the one who is greatest in the kingdom is like a child, because a child is in need of help. We are humble before God because we know we need His help daily, and God gives it to us. God reminds us of His presence. God reminds us of the victory we have in Him. God reminds us, you and I are His, and He will never let us go. We rejoice in this and we give God thanks. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, help us by Your Spirit to receive Your kingdom in humble repentance like little children, that we may enter it in the joy of Your forgiveness in Christ. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us that we may pay closer attention to Your Word, lest we drift away from it and neglect the great salvation it reveals to us in Christ. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, in a reflection of Your eternal love, You join man and woman together so that they are no longer two but one flesh. Bless the engaged, the newly married, and those who have shared many years together with even more of Your love, that they may live together in it with joy their whole lives long. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, help all parents who have brought their children to Christ in the waters of holy baptism also to bring them to Him faithfully in the divine service, that He may continue to take them in His arms and bless them through His Word. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, help us when we do not see everything in this world in subjection to Jesus. Give us eyes of faith to see Him crowned with glory and honor at Your right hand, and so believe that nothing is outside of His control. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, comfort Pastor Scott and Judy Stalling, Sandra Avila, Larry Fultz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Reuther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Soberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Carl and Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knoth, Adeline Wood and Paul Wolf, and all others who suffer in body or mind. You made the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, that in all these trials they might put their trust in You. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, deepen all who eat and drink Christ's body and blood today in the truth that He has made them bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, that they may not doubt but believe that He will hold fast to them forever. Lord, in Your mercy. And to your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all. Take and eat the true body of take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Please rise. Thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, praising Thee, their Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All Thy works with joy surround Thee, earth and heaven reflect Thy rays. Stars with angels sing around Thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in Thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fountainhead of love divine. Joyful we Thy heaven inherit, joyful we by grace are Thine. Amen.
Please be seated. Any announcements from the back? Cheryl? Maxine, go ahead. Maxine, come to the microphone so everyone can hear you.
Is it on?
It's on.
I need to turn it. Can you hear me? Okay, I want to invite everyone, and especially our guests, back to the fellowship hall. We have some special refreshments for celebration of Drake's baptism. Also want to remind y'all, October the 16th, we have the LWML rally here at St. Paul. And on the 17th, we have a council meeting. And on November the 7th, our voters meeting. Also want to say happy birthday today to Susan Woolley. Her birthday is actually October the 4th. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We're collecting, and I'll go up there and say, but we're collecting toys, stuffed toys for... the police department here in Wallace, like if they have a stop and they have small children and somebody, they may have to deal with the parents and the children get upset, they'll have a stuffed toy to give them. So guess what? These are $5 at Walmart. I went up to the register, it said 10, and I got up to the register and it said $5, so I went back for more. So anyway, again, if you want me to do your shopping, I will be glad to do it. But if not, again, and you and Peggy found some at Save-On.
Sure. So. That's great. Parents get the ticket and the kids get a bear.
In the toy. They were
in an end cap in the toy department, and it said $10. And there were some Disney stuffed animals, too, and I got one of the little Lady and the Tramp dogs, a couple of those, and they were $7.50. They were regularly $10, but they got bought, too. So anyway, we do have some of these if you'd like to purchase one, or if you want to go out and buy your own. We're trying to collect these, and we're going to use the ones that we have for centerpieces. And we're getting, I think Peggy and I have enough tripods to between us to stand them up with the butterflies and the flowers. Saturday, next Saturday, the ladies are for LWML are going to go meet at Caroline's house. Now the streaming starts at 9, so you probably need to get... 9:30? Okay, so we can gather at 9. Okay, good. All right. Anyway, we're going to gather, and we're going to have a rally. Not a rally. It's a retreat for our Texas district. So we'll be streaming, and Robbie will be our tech guy, as he was for the convention last year. So we're excited. It worked real well before, and Caroline always has good eats. And we're going to work on the favors and decorations for the rally on the 16th. So we're all excited, right? Woo! Come on. Anyway, but again, I mean, $5. These are great. So anyway, we'll look forward to seeing, and, you know, all the ladies can come to the rally. You know, you don't have to necessarily come to the meeting, but you can come to the rally.
Thank you.
Oh,
one more. And I have signed checks now. I had run out of signed checks because Peggy and I both have to sign on LWML. So anyway, I will be sending $161, which was 10% of our silent auction. We had $1,610. All the money's been deposited. All the money's been collected. And so I will send a check. LWML Mites.
What time do we need to be there again?
Saturday at Caroline's, 9 o'clock.
No, the LWML.
Oh, 10:30. 10:30 on the 16th.
Mm-hmm. And
but you'll probably come a little early to help out. But we'll talk about it during coffee time.
And Cheryl, are you taking mite boxes or anything like that during the rally or no? Do you know? I mean,
We always accept. We have a big mite box out in that in the.
Tell everybody else.
Okay.
We have a big LWML mite box in the narthex, and anytime anyone wants to empty their pockets, and I accept checks, St. Paul LWML, and we'll make sure that your mites get to Texas District. Lutheran Women's Missionary League, but I bet a lot of them know that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're all well acquainted.
But anyway, again, we're happy to have you all. And please stay, because we do have food.
Yeah. Is that it? All right. Go in peace, serve the Lord.